most original talk radio station anywhere. We are LA Talk Radio at latalkradio.com.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome to Question Reality. I'm your host, Priscilla Leona, and we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, California. Our show is broadcast every Sunday from 5 p.m. to 5:50 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Now, if this is your first time tuning in, our show will help you to question your career reality. Now, this show is for you if you were, are, or might be considering a career in the entertainment industry. Our guests will provide you with advice, tips, and resource information on how and what it takes to successfully pursue a career in show business. Our guests work in various professions of entertainment, so that means that you will definitely have someone on the show sooner or later from a career that you are interested. If you want to check out our past guests, read their bios, listen to their interview instantly, or download one of the shows, go to the LA Talk Radio website. That's latalkradio.com, and click on the link at the top of the website that says Channel 1. Scroll down, look for the graphic of our show, Question Reality, and you click the link. If you're listening to us live, you're already there, so just look up the top and follow those instructions. This, again, takes you directly to our archive page where you can view the list of past guests. And our shows are also available for download on iTunes under the podcast section. So you just type in Question Reality Radio in the search box on iTunes, and there we are from 2008 till today. Yay. If you want to find out about our future guests, and thank God, we are booked until the end of the year. So happy. Our show has become so popular. Thank you, everybody listening, all my little fans all over the world. Thank you. And for suggesting so many wonderful people in the entertainment industry. And because of you, we are booked until January. So thank you. We want you to go to the official Question Reality website, and that has a list of all of our guests up until January. I think my assistant may not have put a couple on there. I was just looking at the other day. There might be some reprimanding going on, but I can tell you that I know that it is. So be patient with us. I think it should be updated soon. QuestionRealityShow.com is the website address, QuestionRealityShow.com. Now, as always, we have wonderful guests, and today he's super wonderful, and he comes from my home, I'm going to say my homeland, yes, my homeland, because as everyone knows, I'm Irish. Well, he's Irish and Scottish, and he has this wonderful accent, and when I heard it, I said, oh my God, I got to call him right away and talk to this man. He is super talented, just and not only talented vocally and in the show business aspect, but as a person as well. He's got a great personality. He is singer, songwriter, producer, and touring artist and author, and also I think now music consultant for you lucky people who actually do call him for a musical consultation. His name is Tom McClear, and he was referred to me by a gentleman named Dooner, who is a friend of my old acting teacher. So I've been trying to get this guy on. He's a busy, super duper busy guy, and we were finally able to get him on. So he is on today, and we are going to play one of his latest songs called Better Than You. And we're going to play that maybe around 5:30, or we might close out the show. So that means you got to stay with us the whole entire interview. You got to wait because this is a really hot song. Now, we're going to be asking him questions such as, what does it take to become a world-class musician, which is what he is, singer-songwriter? And we're going to try to find out if there's a difference between pursuing a career in country music rather than like straight country music, rather than going commercial pop? And then also, what's the difference business-wise being a country artist rather than an artist in jazz or any other kind of music? Is there a difference there? I've always wondered that. And also, what is and this came from Elizabeth in Jersey City. She wanted to know, where is the best city to get your start in country music besides Nashville? And that's a very good question, because everybody thinks they have to go to Nashville to become a country star. But I bet you there are other cities out there that you could get your start in. So let's make sure we ask that question. Now, I want to tell you about two wonderful classes coming up. One of them is going to be, I think I mentioned this last week, but I want to mention it again because this casting director is so, so good, so popular. She's been around for so long. And the price on this class is so, so incredibly low. $55, Wednesday, June 27th at 7 p.m., Fern Campion, or some people, it's spelled Champion, but pronounced Campion. Some people call it Champion. She is the CSA head, actually, casting director of Fern Campion Casting. And this class is open to teens and adults. And Fern is a legend in the field of casting. If you are an actor, you definitely know who she is. She's been casting since the 1980s. Some of her previous credits, I can't talk today. I'm on like four bottles of different cough syrup. Been sick all week, people. That's why you're hearing my voice. So bear with me. Some of her credits are Police Academy, all the Police Academy movies, Naked Gun, Friday the 13th, Pet Sematary, The Mask, Babylon 5, Mortal Kombat, Beverly Hills 90210, and there are just too many others. I'd be doing the whole entire show of her credits. Extremely busy office. You want to check her out on IMDb for more of her credits. She's going to do a paired cold read, and this is going to be at trulyacting.com, TRULYACTING, trulyacting.com. So you want to go there to check all the other details out, the address, etc. And then the second one I want to tell you about, I've heard about this manager from a couple people. So I think that she's really, really good. Thursday, June 28, 7:30 to 9:30 at the Exposure Studio at 741 North Cahuenga Boulevard in Hollywood. And her name is Marla Davis. She's a talent manager with Almost Famous Talent agency, and she is going to be there for rep night, and she's interested in seeing all ethnicities, all types from age 6 to 60. So all you seniors, get out there if you want to get into the business and you need representation. Go in front of Marla, and she might be able to rep you. Now, in this class, Marla covers her thoughts on headshot and resume review, which is very important to have a professional look at it, make sure everything's okay. Audition techniques, acting as a business, rather than some actors who say, it's my craft. I don't want to think about the business. She will also talk to you about pilots and features and episodic casting trends and the process, as well as when you do a reading, she'll give you performance adjustments, and then there's going to be some feedback and Q&A. So great class. Check it out. And that is going to be the Exposure Studio, not Truly Acting. Totally different. And I think they're, if you just type it in, I believe you can. I think it's theexposurestudio.com. And you have to forgive me, but I didn't get the website address. But I'm just going to wing it and say, check it out at theexposurestudio.com. I think I've done advertisements for them before, so I'm pretty sure that's it. So there you go. Two great classes to check out this week. Now let's talk about our guest. Yay! Tom McClure! The cute, cute, sexy Tom McClure. Yay! Okay,
oh,
so...
God.
I know. Well, don't give it away yet, Tom, because I got to introduce that accent. I think I might have you record me a lullaby and for the nights when I can't get to sleep because I love that voice. But it has to be an Irish limerick. So let's talk about that. I might have.
Well,
to get
I could only do Scottish. So I mean.
Okay, Scottish. I'll take Scottish. I'll take it. Tom McClure is again a singer, songwriter, producer, entertainer. He is just a world class country musician. I know everybody's thrown off thinking Irish Scottish. What's she talking about? What kind of a singer is he going to be? Oh, he's going to be doing Irish music. No, he is a world class country musician, singer, songwriter, producer, and his seasoned creative chops have led him to write for celebrity guests like Brad Paisley and Annie Lennox, and his talent and musicianship have led him on tours with the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band and Amy Lou Harris. And all of Tom's talents have just culminated into the production of his newest studio album, which features Tom's signature slide guitar playing. I love when the guitar players do that slide on the guitar. I also love it when they do those like whale sounds. I don't know what that is, but I love that too. Now, Tom, although Tom is an established multi-stylist with the ability to blend many of his genres together, his country roots and rock influences are certainly the focus of this album. We're going to have him tell us about the album, where we can get it, what influenced the album. And Tom's music is just nothing but a genuine foray into his country rock sounds. And I guess it's paired masterfully with classically great songwriting. So apparently he is the songwriting guru, the mogul.
Oh, gee.
Yes.
Oh, gee.
Yeah, so without further ado,
You're making me live up to so much. I have no idea what that means.
I know. I think I'm a spin doctor, and I didn't even know it. I can make anybody sound fantastic, like they're the best
my
in
work.
The West. Welcome,
we should,
Tom
we should, I sound so good now, I should just end the interview and just walk away from this, because it would be the moment of my life. It would be wonderful.
Know. I think you're ready to accept your Grammy right now.
It's like
a Grammy introduction. So here's your Grammy. This interview is going to be done verbally instead of you getting a hunk of old metal. You get to talk. So let's talk about you. Now, I start every guest out with this question. Oh, by the way, if you want to check Tom's website out while we're doing the interview, his website is McClear.net, McLear.net. So you might want to check that out. Now, let's start out with my first question for everyone, which is, because people want to know, everybody had dreams to be something, do something when they were a child. And I like to see if they changed it and became something else, or if they actually followed through and became what they wanted to be. So my question is, what did you want to be or do when you were a child?
I've always wanted to be in music. My family, they were quite diverse in the arts, either opera, light opera, some musical comedies, things like that. But at the same time, my father was dealt in a lot of blues and rhythm and blues singing. And, of course, grass is greener always on the other side of the Atlantic. You know, all the Brits love the American country, American R&B, the Detroit sound, Memphis sound, just like all the Americans love whatever was British, you know,
right,
when I was growing up. So, this is pretty much what I always wanted to do. And from very early, I've always loved country music. I just seem to fall into situations that were profitable in my younger years to be with certain rock bands and certain artists that needed material that I would write for.
Who were there some of the artists, Tom, that you?
Oh,
liked?
God. Well, in the very beginning, who I'd listened to a lot was Bordeaux and Bryant, who, of course, wrote a lot of the hits for the Everly Brothers, and I love the, you know, of course, the Johnny Cash and and then all the way to Bob Dylan and so on and so forth. So, I mean, I love just the basic root, folk, country, Americana folk. And then I couldn't get enough of the Chicago and Detroit sounds of blues and rhythm and blues. So all that just kind of mixed together in me, and I grew up with that. And
was your family supportive of your entertainment eye as a child? Did they say, "Oh yes, I can't wait for my son to grow up and be a singer songwriter"?
Somewhat. I mean, it was. Of course, you know, please get a real job. You have no idea how hard this is and how difficult this will be for you. And please think sensibly and please do not do this. Although, you know, they were in the arts themselves. So, I just kind of closed the door on their suggestions. You know?
Well, what were your parents? They were in the arts. What did they do?
Well, mother was a vocal teacher, opera singer, light opera.
Wow.
And my father was basically in the song and dance and theater and whatnot. And
this was in Scotland, right? In Scotland?
Yes. I mean, well, yes. And I mean, we moved around quite a lot. I lived many years in England, and of course, we lived in and out of the States for years. I was actually born in the United States. I was born in Montana when my family was touring. My mother was touring with the Roger Wagner Chorale, and I was early. I came early. I was a preemie, and I was going to be her last tour for some time, and you know she was going to settle down and have children. And of course, I came a little bit too early. Those were my early days, and.
What it was like. So you, coming from that family, you knew what type of life it was when you were a child.
Very much so.
And it didn't scare you away. Instead, you wanted to.
No. That was normal. It was. I didn't know anything else. It was normal for me. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was rough. I mean, you know, moving from city to city and having different schools every couple of years. So they finally. I finally went to boarding school for a while to have some kind of normality and stay in the same place for more than, you know, 5-6 years. So, you know, it's what your reality is, you know what I mean, if you don't know anything else. So that's basically was my education, how
now,
I was brought up.
So you still hung on to that dream. What did you find was the best way to keep focus on your dream of becoming a singer-songwriter, et cetera, to make sure that you were on the path to success in your mind? What did you focus on?
A lot. Fortunately, I had a lot of very good advice from very successful people in my younger years. And most of the advice was perseverance, of course, but the main thing was, I'll never forget one old fellow said to me who was a great singer in the early 60s, is make sure that what you're doing is necessary. You can emulate what you grow up with and what you love. And what you think you sound like, or what you want to sound like, but your art's always going to be wanted by somebody out there if you make sure that what you're doing for them artistically is necessary in other people's lives and not just yours. You know what I mean? I mean, there's a lot of artists that are very, very good at what they do. Sometimes they get a little bit too caught up in what they're doing and saying, and it becomes somewhat self-indulgent.
Right.
And they kind of lose focus of, well, what is out there? What are people listening to when people go into a club or to a bar or into an auditorium of 10,000 people? It shouldn't make a difference. If you're doing something that's necessary for them, you're always going to be relevant. You're always going to, they're always going to want to hear something, the next thing and the next thing. So that was, that was the one bit of advice I think that really kept me on the straight and narrow. And
how do you know how do you know what's necessary? How do you find that out?
Listen to the reactions. And I think artists are so excited about having an opportunity to do what they're doing. If they're very, very good, if somebody emulates John Lennon and follows John Lennon and sounds like John Lennon, you're going to have a problem of doing something that's already been done.
Right.
They've already heard. You know what I mean? They've already heard it.
Yeah.
And you know,
and
I love.
Become,
I mean,
like a tribute, and then you start being like a tribute artist.
Exactly. At times, artists will become their own. They're, you know, then you could go totally, you know, out into some other spectrum. You take the artist Van Gogh in his time. He was doing paintings that were not popular whatsoever. Nobody understood what he was doing while he was alive.
Right.
He was pleasing himself. He was doing the art he wanted to do, but he couldn't sell a painting if his life depended on it. Like Jackson Pollock was the same thing. Mm-hmm. That art was not acceptable at the time. He wasn't relevant to anything at the time. The critics were tearing him apart. They were saying, this is rubbish. And it wasn't until really after he died that the value of the works and the appreciation of the works increased. So there's the question. If you want success, you have to balance the two of pleasing yourself, of making sure that what you're doing is honest in your soul and heart and giving your God-given talents, you know, justice. But at the same time, are you relevant? If you're relevant, if that person comes into that bar and sits down at the end of the bar and you're singing a song for him and you've made him feel that much better for something that happened today, or you've inspired him, or he goes to work the next day with a better attitude, you've been relevant to that person.
Right.
And to me, in art, as an, you know, if you're an actor, if you're a writer, that is the main important thing. Hank Williams was, and probably still is, one of the greatest writers of all time, almost illiterate and unschooled, yet his poetry hits people still to this day because he was so, so relevant to the most simplest of person all the way to, you know, to the Wall Street financier can listen to a song and say, my gosh, that's wonderful.
I know exactly what you're talking about, because my husband and I actually talk about this frequently, how you can listen to the Beatles music today and it still sounds contemporary. I don't know how they did it, Tom, but they managed to make their music sound contemporary in the 60s.
And look what they did. They started out in their first album. What did they do? They did Chuck Berry, or they did Little Richard songs and whatnot. You know, they grabbed the public. They knew they had to win the public over. They weren't going to win people over by bringing uneducated originals that people just aren't ready for. They won the public over, and then after several albums, they were themselves, and they played for themselves, and they became relevant to people, and people just ate it up. I totally agree.
Right. And I think that's really the smart way to go, because I find that a lot of indie artists struggle so much trying to say, hear me, hear my music. This is what I'm about. Listen. But they're kind of banging their heads against the wall, some of them, because for some reason people have a mental block. But as soon as they start doing covers, all of a sudden people's ears perk up and go, hey, I didn't know you did covers. That sounds wonderful.
Exactly. Because both sides of the island are guilty of that. The music business, unfortunately, they have the cookie cutter mentality, where if you look on the country charts today, the top 8 artists right now in CMT are Jason Aldean, Eric Church, Luke Bryan. God bless them all. They're very hard workers. They sound great, but there's not a lot of difference between them. It's all the same. It's kind of how automobiles have become. They're all kind of like the basic design. A BMW looks like an Acura, and so on and so forth. And so the business is guilty of that, as well as the artists. They want to be accepted so bad that they go into auditions And they all either sound like Faith Hill or Shania Twain or Carrie Underwood.
Right. Yeah.
And it's like the problem is, you know what? It's already been done. You know, they've been recorded. They've been out for 7 or 8 years. It's, although the business wants a cookie cutter mentality, they really, whether they want to admit it or not, they need something fresh. So be relevant. Be something. You have to sound somewhat like what the companies want, but you have to offer something new. And that's what's very, very difficult.
It really is.
It's the Holy Grail. It's the Holy Grail.
Because then you find you know, what if your voice just doesn't sound that unique? What else can you do? So you got to start thinking about that.
Your performance, your delivery,
mm-hmm.
The songs you pick. There's many, many, many things you can do. You know, so you know, if you sound just like Shania Twain, just find different songs that aren't. It's like if you watch The X Factor and all these shows. They're wonderful, but. You know, and they're very, very educational. I encourage young people to be watching them as much as possible. But at the same time, look what those shows turn out. They basically turn out the same vocalist year by year by year. It's kind of, again, another – you never see Willie Nelson winning the X Factor. You never see something that outside of the box. You know?
Tom,
yes.
I'm so sorry to interrupt you, but we have a caller. Do you want to take the caller? Do you want to continue?
Oh, sure, why not?
Oh, because apparently
I'm tired of listening to my show.
I'm not, because I actually want to touch back on that subject. Yes, let's take this call. Caller, you are on the air with Tom McClear.
Hi, I'm a good friend of Tom's. My name is Victor.
Victor, how are you? Victor Belinsky.
Yes. Tom, how are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Your commentary is amazing.
Thank you.
It really is, because I think the relevance you're talking about, you know, back in the early days, it was, you know, we all took drugs and we were all relevant. But now it's a whole different thing. You don't have to, you know, you have to come up with something that's different from just what you think about, but what everybody wants to hear about. And you've been doing a great job. And, you know, I'd like to hear you explain a little bit more about how you progressed from where you were as a musician through the whole thing, and now you're one of what I consider one of the best producers on the planet.
Oh, you're too kind. You're too kind. Thank you, Victor. it was a progression of I went through several different styles merely because I was hired. I mean, my first notoriety was, of course, was with Rod Stewart in 75. There was a little void there when Ronnie Wood left the band, and I had a golden opportunity as a young 20-year-old to show off some material on the recommendation of a gentleman named Steve Marriott. And so although I was quite young to the business, and I wasn't much of an instrumentalist then, I offered songs to be recorded, and then basically from there it just progressed. I then moved to Southern California. I got caught up with country rock clubs of the Palomino and the Topanga Corral and
same places I went.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, just that's how I just kind of got into the country rock world. But being a person that could play different instruments and offer songs for people, I might have made some mistakes on copyright and giving my name up on a few things, but it kept me working through the years. So it was in and out of British rock, going to country rock, and then having the privilege of working with different people, meeting John McEwen. And when John left the Dirt Band in about, I think it was like 86, Bernie Leadon from the Eagles came in to work his spot.
Right.
And then after he left, I then jumped in on a European tour, North American tour for a while, because I was able to do banjo and mandolin, all the things that John did, right?
Right.
So from there, then it just, I kept progressing in and out of country rock, or going, when I would move back overseas, there'd be another project, and I just in and out of different things, working with players from Wishbone Ash all the way to like Ted Turner, and just in and out of many different styles. So I think that's where I attribute my abilities to work with people now, because I have had such a diverse education, and I've learned not to put blinders on, like unfortunately a lot of very dear friend musicians have, and what that does is limits their career to 10 years, you know, or 8 or 6 years, you know, because they don't progress and they don't expand and they don't grow, you know.
Tom, you and I actually only officially connected like a couple of years ago at the Cozies when you were playing with Dallas.
Dallas Hodge, yes.
But of course, I've known Dallas and Catfish for 10 years. And the moment I saw you, I knew that you were kind of like the guy who could herd cats. Which beat the record. They're in my mind.
Yeah. Well, I really hate to break this up, but we got to play your song,
sorry,
Tom.
All right, Tom. Let's go on.
Hey,
I'll see you soon.
Thank you so much. Thank you for calling. I appreciate that so much. That was what's his name again? Victor?
Victor Belinsky is a wonderful, I call him one of the best musicologists I know. He really knows his stuff, and he's a man of a great amount of knowledge. And I had the pleasure of meeting him when I was playing with a client who I produced, Dallas Hodge, formerly of Canned Heat, who's a blues musician.
Exciting. Well, we were so lucky to have him on. My gosh, we might have to have him come on the show as a guest, too, if he's a musicologist. But
he's wonderful.
We want to play your song now. Well, why don't you prep us for this song and tell us a little bit about it?
Better Than You is, okay, it's a follow-up to the first CD I released with Everson Nashville a couple of years ago was One More Rodeo. And now this is a follow-up single from the upcoming CD that I will be releasing in a couple of months. We had to push back the release because there's been a shift at Edison Nashville, and we're not sure about our distribution right now. But this single is sung by a fantastic vocalist who I had the privilege of meeting, named Heather Waters, who's just absolutely tremendous. We've got Dave Perlman on pedal steel, who used to play with all sorts of people like Dan Fogelberg and Hoyt Axton. We got Larry Zach on drums. And then I'm doing the rest. I'm just playing guitar and bass. And this is my follow-up single. We've got it out on the internet, Pandora, Django, and XM Radio, and we will have it on iTunes for download in about a week or so. But
buy the song on CD Baby? Is it on CD?
It will be available. Like I said, we were hoping to have a whole CD to release, but like I said, unfortunately, things. Arista, I don't know if you know this, but Arista was bought, and it left Arista Nashville unscathed, but unfortunately, their stable of artists and release dates and everything got shuffled around. So we are not a primary artists on their label. We are just distributed by them. So that's unfortunately been pushed back for a couple months. So,
we're getting a sneak peek.
Wow. Exactly. See, wow, you get this song.
Yay. All right.
Yeah.
Without further ado, let's hear this song by the wonderful Tom McClear. And is it Ellers Green?
Heather Waters as vocals.
Heather Waters. Okay. Better Than You. Let's take it away.
Especially when you think you're always right. Listen, baby, I got news for you. I can do a lot better than you. Things don't change, got your cake and eat it too. Sugar in bed and another in blue. I was so damn blind to your silly games. Just about drove me insane. You wonder what others
don't know. Who the hell is that guy?
That sounded fantastic. She's got such a great voice. I love her voice.
Yeah, she's not. She actually hates her track. She doesn't like it at all.
That is a total hit. Are you kidding?
I know. What can you say? I hope you're listening, Heather.
That's gonna be a chart topper for sure.
And I do have to say to my bass player, Pat Wilkins, I'm sorry that I did the bass on that. I didn't have you play bass, but that's okay. I just needed to mention that so he doesn't yell at me.
Oh, my God. I had my microphone actually on top of my head because I was just dancing around and I was doing my thing. I was busting out the moves on that song. I love it.
Thank you. It's doing very well. We're hoping that we will break into the airplay in another month. But, again, everything kind of got shuffled back. But things will be available for download. In the meantime, you know, you just look on Google, Tom McClure. You could find me on Reverb Nation and Django and all sorts of different things, Pandora. So the song's available, and it will be available for download soon. But I thank you so much for having me on the show.
Oh, my God, are you kidding? You are now, as Elvis Presley said in the song Suspicious Minds, you are caught in a trap. And you're not getting out because you're coming back on this show, Tom McClure. You have made the mistake of coming on this show, and I adore you. You are a radio host idea of perfection. You're just so, you give so much information. And I don't have to dig it out of you.
No, well, it's just there's a lot to say to especially the younger people. Your show is fantastic. I listened to you last week. It's very informative. I think people that are in the entertainment business who are aspiring for different things should listen to your show. And if you need me to come on again and talk to more musicians, I'd love to, because there's a lot of things that, you know, I experienced, I'd like them to not have to go through. I could steer them a certain way. You know what I mean? So.
You are actually moving into a new career, are you not, as a music consultant? Tell us about that.
Yes. That kind of started when I hooked up with Arista. I was contracted with Seagale Publishing, which was Brad Paisley's publishing, and then, of course, they're associated with Arista. And so I became a consultant for their artists. Jason Michael Carroll was one of them. And they had me come out and be his musical director, kind of put things together for a couple of weeks, do them the right way, kind of find the epicenter, basically, of his sound. Things like that. You know, you're not necessarily the producer and you're not the sole writer for him, but you're brought in to kind of steer the ship, so to speak, you know. So,
well, what kind of tips, as a music consultant, what kind of tips and advice, say, for example, someone's listening to the show and they say, I love this man's personality. I feel like I can relate to him. I feel like he is going to approach me in the way that I need to relate to music. And they want to talk to you. What are some of the things that you would be able to offer as a music consultant to them? What's your synopsis?
Basically, I would love to work. There's such a stigma put on producers nowadays because they're I can tell you what I wouldn't be is I'm not appointed by a record company. I'm not interested in taking your royalties as many of the producers will do or control you for the next few years. I've been in the business a long time, and I've had my shot. I'm not interested. There's a lot of paranoia with a lot of clients, the younger people I work with, that they're afraid they're going to sign their souls away, which they end up doing with certain companies. And so I could mainly tell you what I'm not going to do. I'm not going to do that. I will work on a 60-day or 90-day plan with them. All sorts of agreements could be worked out. I'm more into success. It's not necessary for me to make a fortune. You know, for other music producers, well, if I'm going to put this into you, then I'm going to own you for 2 years. And so that's all yours, you know. And that's basically what the record company needs to do, because it costs hundreds of thousands of dollars each song. So, if people want to get a hold of me, they've got mclear.net, there's contact information. I kind of would like to start creating a new breed of take it out. Everything's a company offering to make the money. And in art, unfortunately, in order to be an artist, you have to spend money to make money. You have to. So the producers that are going to charge you right off the bat aren't producers that could give up their time, or perhaps are as desperate as you. Perhaps you should find a producer who doesn't need to be paid an exorbitant amount of money just to get yourself going. In the old days, agents would do photo shoots for you. Agents would do things out of their own expenses. Nowadays, you have to do your own photo shoots and spend all this money as an actor. The agents don't go out of pocket at all for you anymore. And that's the change. That's the change in the business, that I would like to try to reverse the ship a little bit here, you know. I know everybody has to make a living, but you got to get an artist going somehow.
How are you going to bleed their pockets dry if you don't get them started first, right?
Exactly. You don't know how many, I have too many artists coming to me saying, well, I need money now. You're in the wrong business.
That's right.
Get out of the business, you know? You know what I mean? You have to buy your canvas and buy your paint to make the painting.
Exactly.
So please, musicians out there, get it through your head. You've got to spend the money to make the money, and if you do find someone to help you, they should be people that aren't going to suck you dry.
That's right.
They're people that will want to help you because they will share in your success.
That's right.
Yeah.
Now, I want to cover this question because this nice young lady took time to send an email into you, and again, she had said, Dear Tom, where is the best city to get your start in country music besides Nashville? I don't want to move to Nashville. So
you don't. Yeah, it's very much like Hollywood with filmmakers. You know, being involved with film industry, with independent films and of course, with all the film festivals happening, Hollywood's not the center anymore. Nashville is a creative center. It is a brand, you know, and there's a lot of bands out there that going to Nashville is very educational. You do learn a lot. I do admit that. But the unfortunate thing is a lot of people go to Nashville like as if you're learning how to drive, you're straight on the freeway, and without going to driver school, you know, you go there and you get thrashed, and you come out of Nashville totally uninspired or just, you know, you're thrashed. So I stress to anybody, if Nashville companies are owned by companies that are based in Los Angeles, New York, there's companies down south. You don't have to go to Nashville. If you do go to Nashville, please know what you're doing. Learn the business first before you go to Nashville, and understand that there is a good old boy thing in Nashville, and it's either you wear the suit and tie and you can then get in that corporation, or you don't wear the suit and tie, then don't go to Nashville. That's the best advice I have to
give
to a lot of people.
Where do you suggest? They could probably go to, you know, wherever they are, go to their local country bar, right?
Yes. Taylor Swift, whether you like her or not, the girl had chutzpah. She was playing in coffee bars at 14, 15, wherever, wherever, and as well as many of the other young stars. They just start, they get used to being in public, around people. Of course, she had a very supportive group around her. Her mother was a fantastic support group. So, it's just getting out there be careful of hooking up with lawyers and publishers and all that. You don't.
Everybody is so excited. Oh. Like, oh, I got to get an agent. Oh, I got to get someone to produce me. Learn to do your own stuff. There is so much computer equipment. There's so much computer equipment right now. You can get produce your a whole CD on GarageBand, right? Own thing. Save money.
Exactly. Because
Tom, that go and these people who go and buy, they're not even recognized or known yet, and they go out and buy 5,000, they pay a producer for 5,000 CDs, and then they use them to prop up their door to keep them open. I have friends God bless them. I have friends that use them to prop their door open.
You know why? Because they were told. They were told, they were advised, and they read Music Connection, and yes, you can make 2,000 copies of your CD for such a price. And it's, and you know what? By the time you're done doing that CD, that music is out. It's already gone to another genre. So, there are people in the business to make money. CD duplicators, producers, recording studios, they're to make money. So they want you to do that. But the best thing for you to do is center yourself, do one or two songs every 6 months, and put everything, make yourself relevant. Be a Shania Twain, but be something new. Offer something new, for God's sake. Don't do 3,000 copies of something that's going to be out of date in 8 months.
That is crazy, Tom. You know? I am with you. I'm telling you. Tom, you're not going to believe it, but it is time that we have to say goodbye. I can't believe it. It seems like I've only been on here with you for 15 minutes.
I
love it. You are the perfect interview guest. Oh, my God. I wish I could clone you and have all my guests.
I've had a little practice, but your energy. Your energy is fantastic. And, again, I love your show, and I really, really hope a lot of people log in and listen to you, because it's very, very informative and very helpful.
Thank you. Well, you know what? You have got to come back, and promise me you're going to come back next year. I'm booked until January, but I'd love to get you on. Maybe once your album comes out, we can talk about it in January, and then we can get more advice out there to the people who want to pursue a career in country, because I don't have many people who come on who can give that advice. So you have to promise you're coming back. Say, I promise, people.
I promise. I would love to usher in the new year with you. That'd be great.
And you know what? The next time when you come on, I want to hear a song where you're singing.
Okay.
So now you got a project. Now he's got a project, people. All right, I want to thank Tom McClear. Go to his website, mclear.net, and check it out. And then also, I know that you're going to have a new book of poetry that is going to come out called Inside a String. And unfortunately, we can't talk about that now, but I bet it's on your website, and we're going to talk about it in January. New book of poetry, right?
Yes, Inside a String, Water Forest Press. Yes, thank you.
Yay. All right, my darling. Thanks, everybody. Say goodbye to your fans, Tom McClear, until January 2013.
You guys, take care, and many blessings to all of you. Thanks so much for your support, and please do listen to Priscilla's show. It's fantastic. I love it.
Do listen to Tom McClear on McClear.net. We'll see everybody. Have a great week. Bye.
You're listening to Question Reality.
Question Reality.
With Priscilla Leona.
Priscilla Leona.
Only on LA Talk Radio.